Blog Talk Radio.
I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of DirectionsU.com, calling to you live this week from Niagara Falls, New York. As I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, I have with me today my co-host, the story lady herself, Rhonda Del Baccio from ProfitableStorytelling.com. Are you with me, Rhonda? Uh-oh, I thought I had Rhonda with me. Rhonda? Well, I know Rhonda's traveling, so maybe she's having some issues getting in. Well, we've got a great show for you today, so I hope she doesn't miss it. My guest today is Adam Urbanski, the Millionaire Marketing Mentor. Adam, are you with me?
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
I am very good, thank you. Well, Adam is an expert at being able to tell whether your marketing system is broken. If it is, you'll be spinning your wheels longer and harder than ever, but still not getting ahead. On the other hand, when you apply Adam's profitable marketing strategies to your business, you'll be able to attract more clients. You'll be able to stand out from the competition. And with his profit multipliers, you'll improve your cash flow and add profits to your bottom line. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Adam today about how he uses relationship marketing to grow businesses and to attract more clients. It sounds to me like you and I do a lot of similar stuff, Adam.
Well, I guess we're about to find out.
I guess so. So tell me a little bit more about your background. I went out researching a little more about you yesterday. I've known of you for quite a long time, been on your newsletter and things like that. But, boy, I was fascinated by some of the stuff that I was hearing.
Well, which part fascinated you the most?
The fact that you are not a native of the U.S., that you came from, was it Poland?
Came from Poland, yep. So I have a little bit of, I think, a different story and somewhat unique, and in a way it's kind of a rags-to-riches story and a story of success made in America. I came to the United States. I was just, I turned 18. I had $194 on me. I was a high school grad. I couldn't really speak English, funny enough, because I was taking extended English lessons in Poland, but never quite could grasp the language, so I really could only say a few sentences, and the ones that I really remember were kind of, how do you do, and excuse me, do you have the time? And when someone actually stopped and bothered to answer me, I kind of, my eyes would turn into big saucers, and I had no clue what they were saying to me. So it was an exciting adventure. And in 10 years, that was in 1989, I came to the United States. In 1999, I sold a multi-unit, multi-chain business of coffee shops / bagel shops. So, you know, in 10 years, I've created an enormous amount of success. I managed to get married and create beautiful kids. And then in early 2000, I was looking for, you know, what's my next career, which is about 28, 29 at the time. I was looking, you know, what do I do next? And I decided that what I know the most about is really growing businesses. I mean, I opened and sold different restaurants, and I knew what it takes to start grassroots marketing efforts. I knew what it takes to bring customers to the door and how to grow the business, and eventually, if you want to, sell it. So I've decided that will be my next career, and it really, it wasn't kind of an overnight thought. It was a little bit of a process of evolution. Somewhere over the next 2-3 years, really the marketing mentors were, you know, the company called Marketing Mentors, which is what we do now, was evolved. And I think we officially actually rebranded the company to be called Marketing Mentors in 2003. And, you know, what's so fantastic about what I do right now, Gina, is that we have tens of thousands of followers, thousands of people who are using our flagship program, which we call Attract Clients Like Crazy. And, you know, and what's most heartwarming is that we get stories almost daily from people who use it and get fantastic results. We've got people who have been on the brink of bankruptcy and then come back. We've got people who have just decided to come up with a new idea and within weeks or months generate six figures income from it. So it's just, you know, I've been a very blessed man.
Oh, wow. What a great story. I think we do have Rhonda Del Baccio on the line with us now. Rhonda, are you there?
Hi. Are you able to hear me now?
Hey, we can hear you now. I'm so glad you joined us, Rhonda.
Yes. Yes, I am too. And Adam, what a delight. I'm really excited that you are here. So we welcome you. And yes, Gina, you're right. That is quite a phenomenal story.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And you have no idea how stressful it is to be on a radio show with Rhonda, the story lady.
Oh, I hope not. My goodness.
I better get my story straight here.
That's funny, Adam. So I want to know a little bit more about attracting your clients. How does that work?
How does it work? It works very well if you know how to do it. The problem is most people have no clue how to go about it. You know, I think the biggest problem is just most people don't even think about it until it's becoming an urgent problem and an urgent need. And when you really consider how most people start businesses, it's typically because they were fed up with the previous job. You know, the boss just got too hard on them, and they just hated what they were doing, or they hated the place where they were working. So they voluntarily left and said, you know what, if my company is making money off me by selling whatever it is that I'm doing, I might as well do it by myself, and I do a whole lot better, you know, a lot better job at it than they're doing. Or they left involuntarily because they get downsized, right-sized, or whatever, and instead of going back into the system, which, you know, chewed them up and spit them out, they said, you know, the heck with it, I'm going to start on my own. And they do this, and the problem is that they really, I think Michael Gerber really was the first one who kind of identified a term for it. They're really a technician. They're really, really good at something. And especially when you look at service professionals, they're an excellent coach. They're an excellent bookkeeper. They're an excellent accountant. They're a phenomenal lawyer. They may be a fantastic chiropractor. They may be one heck of a technology consultant or a management consultant or, you know, a computer programmer. Problem is they're not a business owner, really not an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is a person who knows how to shift means from lower economic value to a higher economic value, which basically means buy low, sell high. And it's the same when it comes to selling services. You have to acquire them low and sell them high. Problem is a technician only knows how to perform that specific job, that service, not how to build a business and how to perform that shift of economic value. So they really never start considering marketing until it's a pressing need. Means basically they've started their own business, they bought some office furniture off, and they, like, you know, remodel their home office, buy a fancy desk, they get themselves a nice computer because, well, now they're in business, so they need to have good equipment. They go out there and often spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, in some cases tens of thousands of dollars on branding materials. They develop logos. They create letterhead materials. They build websites, which, you know, often can spend a ton of money on it, and they will spend hours, if not days, looking at the website and going, well, you know, I think that line needs to be a little bit to the left, and the blue collar over there, it's a little too deep. If we could kind of move it a little bit more into a shade of purple, you know, all of that stuff, they spend enormous amount of effort and energy because they think that this look will do anything for them, and they end up being frustrated, and they end up spending a lot of money, and it never delivers the results which they were hoping to get, and that means more business getting into the door. So, you know, that's just kind of the initial part, the mindset, and once people are able to understand that what happens happens is they actually, when they started the business, whether they said, hey, I'm going to be a bookkeeper, hey, I'm going to open a consulting practice, hey, I'm going to open a chiropractor's business, they don't realize that the minute they make the decision, they have gotten themselves into two businesses. The first business is the one of marketing and selling their service. And the second business is the one of delivering that service. And Rhonda and Gina, when you think about it, which of the two businesses is more important?
Oh, well, the second one, of course.
The second one meaning?
Meaning the one of delivering good services.
Ah, you see, most everybody thinks that, but it's not.
No?
The minute you start delivering your services, your expenses start. What pays the bills is the marketing and selling. If you don't market and you don't sell, you don't acquire new clients, new customers, there is nobody to deliver the service to. There is no income. You see, every company, when you look at larger companies, they have multiple departments. They have research and development, and they have admin, and they have accounting, and they have marketing and sales. And if marketing and sales aren't doing their job, everybody else is pretty much unemployed. There is no business coming in the door. The company has massive layoffs. Same thing happens in any business, even if it's a professional practice, because when you think about it, you as a professional, even though a lot of what you do will be based on your personality and a lot of your clients will do business with you because they like you, but you can be replaced as a service provider. So think about it. If you were to fire yourself and hire another service provider and pay that service provider to deliver a service to the customers, where would that money come from? It has to come from the sale of that service to the customer in the first place. So this is the critical mistake that most people make, and they don't understand that the first and primary business they are in is marketing and selling of their services, of their goods. And it starts with how they communicate and say, I'm a chiropractor. No, you're not. You are in the business of marketing and selling chiropractic services. Somebody says, I'm a bookkeeper. No, you are not. You are in the business of marketing and selling bookkeeping services. I'm a coach. No, you are not. You are in the business of marketing and selling coaching services. You are a financial planner, a real estate agent, and on and on and on. If you identify yourself with the label that I am a service professional, you are immediately at disadvantage. You are harming yourself and your business. You have to realize that if you want to apply a label to yourself, the label has to be that you are a business owner of a business which markets the services you're providing first and foremost. Okay? You tell me when to stop, guys, because I can go on.
That's brilliant. Keep going. This is really fascinating. Oh, keep going.
Yes. So you see, now think about it. That another part that I think most people need to realize is that there's a humongous difference, a huge difference between a freelancer and a business owner.
And we got to talk about this because I understand where you're going with this one. So
yeah,
what's the difference?
Well, the difference is that the freelancer is after the next check.
Mm-hmm.
A business owner is building a system which solves specific problems automatically, systematically, consistently, and at a profit, and ideally without the involvement of time and energy of a business owner. That's a mouthful. So now think about it. Let me just kind of dissect this for a moment. When you are a freelancer, it basically means that at any given point you are selling time for money. You're selling a skill for money. Let's say you do a graphic design work, and the client shows up and hires you to design a theme for a website or design a brochure or a business card or postcards or whatever it is that the client needs to have designed. Client hires you. You perform the job. The client gives you the check. The client then disappears. You deposit the check in the bank, and pretty much the money is spent even before you deposit the check in the bank. So you rush to the bank to cover all the checks, all the expenses you've already incurred prior to that, and then you panic, okay, when is my next gig? Where is my next client? I need the next check. So freelancer is always about getting the next gig. A business owner realizes that there is a need out there. There is a problem that a large number of people need to solve and want to solve, and they have the means to solve it. And then the business owner continues to look for methods in which that problem can be solved, again, automatically, which means, again, without the involvement of the business owner's time and effort, systematically, meaning it can be done over and over and over and over again, consistently, meaning that as much as possible, ideally with nearly 100% effectiveness ratio, that problem may be that problem will be solved, which is the client will get the results they were after, and at a profit, which means if you acquire a customer and provide the solution and all the system has performed its job, there must be some money left at the end for business to be compensated for it, all it's done. And so business owners really look for systems and long-term solutions. They're not looking for one-time customers. They're looking for a model which will consistently attract clients, deliver solutions, and create profit. So, you know, the difference would be someone who creates a coaching practice and just creates and just goes from client to client to client to someone who creates a coaching business and maybe has other coaches working in the business and not only performs a coaching service but also has seminars and workshops and classes that are performed on demand, automatically downloadable, and they realize they have transitioned from trying to chase individual clients to now promoting their coaching services and trainings and programs. Okay?
Big difference between the two, too.
So what sort of questions, I mean, again, I could go on with this, but what kind of questions do we need, what do we need to clarify over just a few things that I've shared so far, maybe?
Brenda, I'll let you take that first.
Well, Adam, one of the big reasons that I was really excited to get you onto the show is just simply that piece that you shared before about, you know, what business you're in, the sales or the marketing side. That is a really, really big deal, and I remember having an aha moment the first time that I heard you talk about that at a seminar. So, you know, first of all, I just wanted to acknowledge you and thank you for that. Okay? And another thing that I know you talk about that I think is really important for everyone is if you would talk, Adam, about there's an activity that you have people do in the live workshops that have to do with writing down as many ideas as you can within a certain amount of time. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, you're talking about an exercise that, there's actually a funny story behind it. I call it, I've changed the number since, but I think at one point I called it my $250,000 paperclip story. And I was at the seminar, It was a one-day program which was 100% designed to sell people into something that this company, into a service that this company was providing. And they have given us an assignment, which is they've given us a paperclip and said, you know, come up with as many ideas as you possibly can to, how many different ways can you use this paperclip? And as people were going through this exercise, I all of a sudden had this epiphany, and I said, I've got to do this in my seminar, but differently. So the way I run the exercise in my programs is I ask people to first, as a group, agree on a number of how much extra money they would like to make in their businesses or in profits in the next, let's say, 90 days. And we come up with a number. And, you know, to some people that number is, you know, let's say we come up with a number of $30,000. And some people basically choke and go, oh, my God, $30,000 in 90 days. That's like, you know, I haven't made that one in last, you know, in last year. And some people say, yeah, I'll make that in a day. But, you know, so that's always irrelevant. But we say, how many different ways can you make an extra $30,000 in 90 days? And I say, go ahead and write your ideas. And I watch the room. And what happens, people just kind of get down to the notepads and they start writing down their ideas. And I will give them a certain amount of time. Let's say we'll give them 2 minutes to do this. And what happens is when they are done, I ask them to share how many ideas they come up with. And typically, most people come up with, you know, 3, 4, 5 ideas. If we have 7 or 8, that's already a lot. So most people end up somewhere around 5 ideas. And then I ask them to repeat the exercise, but this time I ask them to get in groups of 3 or 4 people and brainstorm once again how many different ways they can make $30,000 in 90 days. And what happens is that people come back within the same amount of time. They usually have 3 or 4 times the number of the ideas, so it's not unusual to have, you know, 15, 20 ideas. Now, and the ideas usually, and there's no way to quantify it, but, you know, if there was an ability to quantify it, the ideas are typically 2, 3, 4, 5 times better and stronger, because what happens is one person comes up with an idea, someone else chimes in and goes, yeah, and what we can do with that is, and they start building upon each other's ideas. But now, here's really where the exercise comes into, what's the essence of the exercise. First time when I ask people to just go ahead and write their ideas, I never say, go ahead and work on your own and just write down your ideas. But you see, as entrepreneurs, as service professionals, and, you know, often as human beings, even though we have the herd mentality, we all our lives we crave to belong. When it comes to achieving extraordinary results, when it comes to building something, when it comes to creating something in an entrepreneurial sense, most of us think we have to do it on our own. There is no instruction anywhere. There is no secret code. There is no rules that we have to do it by ourselves. But automatically, most people who are service professionals, small business owners, automatically assume this is, if it's to be, it's up to me and I've got to do it by myself. So this exercise really is designed to help people, you know, create this awareness like, oh my gosh, you're so right. And there are some other things like create some distractions in the room in the process, because what happens, Rhonda, is this. When you want to start, and hopefully we may have a little bit of time to talk about it, but when you start your business, when you have an idea, when you have a goal, an objective, whether it's personal or business, life immediately conspires against you. And I know it sounds kind of foo-foo and weird, but what happens is you will be tested whether or not you really want what you say you want.
Right.
So barriers will you know, appear. And it's just, when you really think about it in the simplest sense of, hey, I want to get up from here and I want to go to the kitchen and grab a drink of water. Well, you may not think about it, but there are different barriers. Like, I actually have to push the chair physically away from the desk and I have to get up. I actually have to walk down the stairs and I have to come up the stairs. I actually have to open a cabinet. I have to reach for the glass. All those things are barriers of sorts. They require effort. But because they're so simple, they're second nature, we don't think much about them. But now let's say that your objective is to make $1 million. Well, the first thing would be, I've got to come up with ideas. And then what are the objectives? You know, what are the barriers? You immediately start thinking, well, I don't have that good of an idea. Well, I don't have that much money to get started the business. Well, you know, I don't know anybody that could help me build a business. Well, all sorts of things that you don't know. And then let's say you come up with an idea, come up with a business, and you'll say, well, again, there is no money. So how do you get the money? And then you'll say, well, I don't know how to do certain. I need a website that will help me make this $1 million. I don't know how to build websites. So you sort of, all sorts of things will appear to trip you up, so to speak. And you have to enroll other people in your life to help you overcome those problems. If you keep going at it alone, it's a very slow, very long journey. So this whole concept, and what happens is if you're not staying focused, you will be interrupted, you will be disrupted, and then rarely you will go back to complete the tasks you started doing. So it's so important for entrepreneurs to, number one, surround themselves with other people who will validate your ideas, who will help you spot your dangers, who will help you better recognize and take advantage of opportunities that come your way. But also, those people will cheer you on when you kind of lose enthusiasm, and we all get depressed at times. Things are not going the way we wanted them to go, and we just run out of steam. We need some cheerleaders to come back and say, hey, we believe in you. Go back, pick yourself up. You can do it. Those are people. We need those people to hold us accountable, because the reason people are failing often in their businesses is because when they had a job, the job would show up over the desk, watch over the shoulders, crack the whip. If what your job was, what you were supposed to do at your job, if it wasn't done, you know, you were risking being fired. So there was a lot of fear, a lot of kind of external bad motivation, but it was motivation, and you had to perform. Well, now when you're in your business, what happens, the most important tasks that will help you grow your business, there is no boss to hold you accountable. Those are the tasks that are the easiest to wiggle out on. You schedule an appointment for yourself to sit for an hour and strategically plan your business. That hour comes and, you know, phone rings or Twitter pops up on your computer or there's some good movie on TV and you go, I just plan tomorrow. So there is no, the easiest person to wiggle out on a commitment and to give up on is you. So we need those other people to help us stay committed, stay focused, and stay accountable. And when you think about large companies, again, they form boards of directors that will advise them, that will keep them accountable. And small business owners, professionals, what do they have? Themselves. And often they have a nagging wife or husband or a cousin Jimmy or you know, an Aunt Mary that comes back and says, I told you, you should just stay with the job. You know, who do you think starting your own business? You know, I don't even know what the heck you're doing sitting there all day. You know, just go get a job. So we have a lot of negative input, very little positive input. Negative input just shows up by itself in our lives. Positive input, we have to search it and make a conscious effort to acquire it and surround ourselves with people that will feed us constantly and consistently with positive reinforcement, positive thoughts, positive energy, and effective and positive ideas that will help us move forward to achieve the goals we want to achieve.
Right. And you know, what you're talking about with this testing where you're saying that life conspires to basically get in your way and have you prove how much you want it, that's actually part of the hero's journey. It's something that's part of every culture. It's pretty much universal to human beings because in overcoming those particular challenges that would be called the road of trials in terms of the hero's journey, that's what gives you, if you keep true to the path, it gives you the skills and the contacts and all the characters along the road that you meet to help you to create that higher level of you so that you can do well in your business. Of course, the alternative is you get distracted, you let yourself fall off the path, and you end up saying, no, really, I thought I wanted it, but it's too hard, and then turning away from it.
That's true.
So what I heard you saying through everything that you've been talking about thus far is really that an entrepreneur really needs relationships. And as you might be aware, this show is about relationship marketing. So how do relationships come into play for the entrepreneur?
They're huge. I think that, again, kind of going back to maybe biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs, professionals make, is thinking that the biggest resource is a computer that you have or your intellectual property that you have, and some other things. And those are all great and fantastic things, and they are needed. And a lot of times they create a lot of value for our businesses. But ultimately, the largest value you can create is the relationships you have in your business. And they're the relationships with your strategic alliances, with your joint venture partners or affiliates, with your current and potential and past customers, with your vendors. And, you know, there is a saying that it's not who you know, it's who knows you. But there is also a part of the saying that's missing, that it's not who knows you, it's how well they know you. Because based on how well they know you and how well you know them, you can really make a difference. You can make an impact. You can create results based on that relationship, and you can use those relationships to move things forward. If you only know off people and they know off you, but you really don't know each other, it's hard to create connection. It's hard to get anything going, anything moving, anything started. So one of the things, you know, a few years back, I remember I was asked by TV, I was interviewed on TV, and I was asked, about internet marketing, and it's such a phenomenon. It's, you know, it seems to be so easy. You just get an idea, you put it online, and people are buying, and there you are making money. And to a certain degree, it's true. But I remember I was telling the reporter. I remember telling the reporter that it just like building a traditional business. You may have the expenses are smaller. You don't need a brick and mortar shop, so you can start for free. You can start with an access to the internet via computer in the library. But ultimately, and you can start making money, but to build a business takes time and effort and relationships. The business is completely based on relationships. If you sell bad product to people, you're not building relationships. You may be making a profit right now, but I guarantee you very quickly you'll be out of business because no one will ever come back and do business with you. So you have to be trustworthy. You have to have integrity. You have to always have your customers' best interest on mind. Now, I'm not saying it's being a charity business. You are in business to make money. You have to turn a profit, but it has to be a profit earned in a way that delivers more value to the customer. If a customer pays you $10, that customer should have gotten $100 or $1,000 value. And that's the beginning of the relationship, because usually customers come to us to solve a specific problem. They have a need, they have a pain, and they come to us to make that pain go away, to satisfy that need. And if we do, they're willing to pay us a decent money to do this. And if they pay us and we deliver on a promise, it's the beginning of a long-term relationship. If we fulfill on that original promise and we take care of the customer, we now have a customer for life. Oftentimes, they will come back to us again and again and again and again and buy from us. So here's how important that is. Remember, we talked about the difference between a freelancer and a business owner. Let's say a freelancer coach sells a coaching service, and they do a great job, and the customer is very satisfied. But I don't care how great of a coach you are, at some point, that coaching relationship ends. The client simply says, you know, I've gotten everything I can get from you as a coach. I need to focus on different areas. I need to work with somebody that has a different perspective, that offers different, type of motivation, different type of instructions. That's my next step. So that coaching relationship ends. And that's the end of an income for a coach. Now, if you are in business, and as a business you have built a trusted relationship with that customer, now, you might have sold them a coaching service, and you might have been the one delivering the service, or you might have had other coaches deliver the service. You just were basically the umbrella company that was handling the transaction and making some money on it. But now when the customer says, you know, I'm done with that coaching process, you may say, well, fantastic, we've got another coach to recommend. Or we have a seminar for you to take, or we have a home study course to take. And let's say you came to us to study marketing, but now it's the beginning of the year, and you say, you know, I really want to work on setting better goals for myself. You may say, well, it just so happens we have partnered with a company that helps people set better goals and teaches them how to do it. And we would highly recommend you take their course. And as a company, we make a profit on that recommendation. Now, we really don't make a profit on recommendation. We make a profit on the relationship we've built with the customer. We make a profit because the customer trusts us, and we continue to look out for them. We continue expecting what needs they have. The customer will buy product or service regardless of us. So if we develop the trusting relationship, we can continue profiting from it by ensuring that the customer buys from us. So it's a win-win-win situation. The customer wins because whenever they are in need, they know they can come to us and find a trustworthy process or program or product that delivers on what they wanted to achieve. We win because we continue to derive profit from that relationship without having to acquire new customers. And then in the process, if we use third-party companies or third-party vendors and we sell their services, they win as well because they're able to acquire a client at the lower cost because we bring them that client. And it all starts because of the relationship. So, again, this is one of those things that we could go on for a weekend and just emphasize how critical and how important that is. And, you know, here's another thing that I often do in my workshops. And people kind of freak out, and I usually find somebody who is younger in a group. And I remember recently I was speaking somewhere, and there was one lady who was just in the front row, and she was newly married, and I think she was very startled by this whole exercise. But, you know, here's what I do. I would come up to somebody, and I would ask her for a name, and I would say, well, you know, listen, it's the business and acquiring clients is sort of like a relationship between two people that are falling in love. And when you think about the time of courtship, you know, how you treat each other, how you look each other deeply in the eyes, and how, you know, you spend hours and hours on the phone, and how you write each other's love notes, and you just can't wait to be with each other in the restaurant. You just, if you sit across the table with someone, if you watch for, you know, a couple of in love or people that are in the courtship stage of their relationship, they're just so attentive. When one is talking, the other one is leaning halfway across the table and maybe even holding the other person's hand and just like gazing in the eyes and totally immersed in the conversation. And when you look at the couple that's been married for 7, 10, 15 years and you look at them eating in the restaurant, it looks like they couldn't find anybody else to eat with that night. They're just like totally bored. They don't pay attention to it either. They're reading the print on the napkins. They're so bored. And what happens in the relationship with customers is often the same. The courtship period is when we try to get the customer to give us money. And the minute we get a check from the customer, we go, arrivederci, see you later. And we forget about them. And it's the biggest mistake because the relationship, the courtship should start right now when the customer cut us a check. So when you think about it, it's so perverse that many businesses treat the prospects better than they treat the customers, which makes no sense at all. We should treat better the customers that actually pay us the money, that pay our bills. Those are the ones that deserve the most attention. This is the opportunity for creating lifelong, amazing relationships. If business owners just develop that one mindset shift, treat your customers better than you treat your prospects. I'm not saying don't treat your prospects good. I'm saying treat your customers better than you treat your prospects.
Excellent.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
Yeah, you know, that's a good comparison. That's one of the things that I really love about your approach is that, you know, of course you're not saying to treat anybody shabbily at all, but you're really getting to the lifetime value of that customer for you, aren't you, Adam? Not only in terms of your own services, but of other recommendations.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is one of the terms that I think Jay Abraham has to be credited for popularizing, but there is a fantastic book called Scientific Advertising. Actually, it's a set of two books, Scientific Advertising and My Life in Advertising, and it's by Claude Hopkins. Claude Hopkins, and it was written, I believe, in 1920s, 1930s. It's been republished in the last few years. So you can buy the two books on the set. Claude Hopkins, Scientific Advertising. Just look it up on the internet, and you may be actually even able to download it for free. It's an amazing book, and he really is the first one. He's kind of a teacher of the teachers for marketing. And this is in that book, he identifies the lifelong value of a customer and the concept and how important that is. And it has to do with building solid relationships, and it has to do with deriving healthy profits for you as a business owner from that relationship. So now, think about it this way. I remember in some of the first workshops that I've done early in 2000s, I would use it an example of bookkeeping. And let's say a bookkeeper charges a customer $250 a month. And you really don't think about it much. And in terms of, you know, money, it's not a lot. And it's so easy to just, you know, when the customer makes you mad, you sort of go, oh, the heck with the customer. I don't even want the $250. Just go away. And what they don't realize is how much value that customer represents to them in reality. Because here's what happens. First of all, that customer may be a customer for years. So that customer may be a client of yours for your bookkeeping services for 5 years. Let's just say that an average customer stays with you for 5 years. So if you think about it, $250 times 12 times 5, that's $15,000. So if you make the customer mad, you just lost you didn't lose $250, you lost $15,000. But that's not all. Let's say that the customer, on average, sends you one referral a year. So that's one referral a year, that's five referrals, each one, again, worth $15,000. So now you have a total of six times $15,000 of the original client plus five referrals. That's $90,000. That is a real lifetime value of that $250 a month customer, $90,000. Now, here are two questions. If a customer pisses you off, and they pay you $250 a month, if you really truly possess the understanding of a lifetime value of the client, are you as willing to argue with them and fire them as if you understand that, you know, what they are really worth to you? And the second question is, do you treat the same the customer, the $250 customer or $90,000 customer? And the answers to both are no. You don't treat $90,000 customer and $250 customer the same. What you have to now recognize is that this $250 a month customer in reality is a $90,000 in revenue to you, and you have to treat them like such. And that's why sometimes when you do business with companies who truly, really treat you extraordinarily well, and then you kind of have this wow experience, and you go, wow, for just a few dollars of doing business with them, they provide me with all of this. It's because they understand that it's not about the first few dollars you've paid them. It's about the dollars you will be paying them over a lifelong relationship. And they want to create this. They want to create this impact. They want to wow you. They want to let you know, hey, you are special. I remember, and actually as I'm talking to you, I remind myself about things that I've got to go back and improve in my business. But I remember teaching my clients a few years back when I would take on, I don't take many, very many private clients, almost exclusively the people I do business with belong to my Platinum Masterminds. But I remember in the past when I would take on a client, they would often connect with me within the first few weeks and say, hey, you know, it's like it feels like I'm your only client. And I remember I would teach them this. I said, it doesn't matter how many clients I have. It's not your business to worry that I am busy with other clients. it's my business to ensure that you feel like you are the only, and if not the only, then the most important client that I have. That's all you need to see. Everything else doesn't matter to you because you've hired me to do a certain job for you, and you've got to feel like you are the only one I'm doing the job for. There's nothing else that's more important than that relationship that I have with you. That's how you should feel. Everything else is just my internal problems, my internal logistics.
Excellent. So you're talking about every customer, every client, essentially being a VIP for your business.
Exactly. It's a great way to look at it. Every client is a VIP. And then, obviously, there are degrees of it. You've got, you know, the less important VIPs and the more important VIPs. And I've got to clarify this because this may kind of come, you know, it may sound kind of harsh. But, and again, the whole point is to build a process in business so every customer feels taken care of. But the reality is you're not going to devote as much time, energy, and effort to someone who purchases a, let's say, in internet business, a $20 ebook from you, as to someone who has maybe invested, you know, $25,000 to be a part of your private mastermind group. They just will have more access to you, more personal attention.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the customer who's invested $20 in a product with you is not important. That doesn't mean that we can feel them ignored. That doesn't mean that when they have a question, we're not there, or we ignore them, or they have no access to us. It just means creating a system that takes care of every the $20 customer and the $25,000 customer.
Well, Rhonda, did you have some other questions that you wanted to ask Adam, or can we explore the relationship issue a little bit.
I want us to go into the relationship issue. I just had a sense that would be a great distinction or thing for people to understand. And yes,
I definitely agree.
Yeah, well, I'd love to explore the relationship, and I know you would, Gina. And how exactly it is that you go about making that relationship work so well and bring the referrals.
So we'll start there.
Well, getting into the relationship aspect more and going into that deeper, and I'd also love for you to be able to touch on what things you do in your business, Adam, and that you recommend for people so that we can not only go from that first little loving glance to a deeper relationship, but also to gain referrals.
Okay. Very good question. I'm thinking, what's the best way to illustrate this? You know, let's just start with something very technical. How can you ensure that you build, that you sort of wow people? Because people are so busy, and they're so used to just kind of getting what they get that even just a little bit of a difference, a little bit of a pattern interruption, it enables us to create this mini wow effect, and they go, wow, this is different. This is good. I feel more appreciated. So in terms of, again, let's say I buy some products online, and somebody comes and buys a $47, $49 ebook. And now typically you download an ebook, and that's where it ends. You sort of get the thank you notice, and you may get autoresponders, and it's pretty cool, right? But now think about it. How different would it be when, within about a day after you purchasing that product, there was a phone call that said, hey, listen, I know you're busy. I just wanted to say, to check in with you and say a couple of things. Number one, thank you for investing with us. Appreciate your business. And number two, I just want to make sure you got all your downloads okay and everything is cool. If you've got any questions whatsoever, here's our number. Call us. And whether it's a live person or a message, it's kind of a very similar conversation. It doesn't have to be a long, you're not calling to consult with anybody. You're just calling 60 seconds, hey, thank you. And by the way, it doesn't have to be you. It can be your assistant. It can say, like in my case, we've got a person who says, hey, this is Lisa. I'm invited with Bansky and Marketing Mentors, and Adam has asked me to give you a call. I so appreciate you. We so appreciate your business, and just want to make sure the download went okay. You've got everything you needed. Got any questions, you know, here's our contact info. They already have all of this anyway, but why not follow up and take that relationship off the internet and into the actual world of voice and sound? And now imagine about a week later, there is a postcard, a greeting card showing up in your inbox, in your mailbox. You actually get your mail, and there is a card that says, hey, listen, I so appreciate you being a client. Thank you, and congratulate you on your investment, and thank you for business, for doing business with us, and wish you all the best and all the success in achieving all the goals you're going after. Now, that's three contacts. Two of them totally, you know, they're not selling anything. They're just thinking, and they're off the internet. They're actually in a different reality. I don't know of any other company that when you buy a $50 ebook sends you a thank you card. It just doesn't happen. That one little difference makes a world of difference because people remember. People feel different. People feel appreciated. Okay? Now, so that's just kind of, again, what can you do that's a little bit different? In terms of referrals, but actually, I mean, let me just explain a concept here. That the only way you can impress somebody is by doing something and offering something that they didn't expect. If they expected it and you delivered it, then it's like, well, sure, I mean, it was supposed to be there and I got it, so what's the big deal, right? But if they didn't expect it and you delivered something, that's when people go, wow. So I call it strategically over-delivering. You have to create some process that strategically over-delivers. You have to have certain little insider tricks and secrets and processes that when you start building that relationship, certain things are happening to the person doing business with you that they go, wow, I didn't expect that. Oh, wow, that's nice. So that's conceptually, you have to always realize that the only way to impress other people is to deliver something that they didn't expect and didn't anticipate. If they do, it ruins the whole process. It's just you have to come up with something different. Now, in terms of referrals, here's where people often make a mistake. When they get a referral, when they get a referred client, they send the person who sent them that referral some sort of thank you, maybe a gift, maybe, you know, if you share. Let's take it off the internet world and off the affiliate commissions. But let's say in reality, a bookkeeper has received a referral from one of the clients. They send a thank you gift once that referral becomes a client. Now, that's a wrong time to thank the referrer and to send a gift. Because the time to do it is when that referral first comes to you. Whether or not this person becomes a client, that's irrelevant. Let me explain this. When someone sends us an email or a phone call and says, hey, I just spoke to so-and-so and I asked so-and-so to contact you and told them a little bit about you and they might be a good match for one of your product seminars or services, and I just wanted to give you a heads up, we immediately send them a thank you card, and we send them something like, I don't know, let's say we send them a $10 certificate to Starbucks, $10 Starbucks card, and say, thank you so much for thinking of us. Thank you for talking us up to our customers. Really appreciate it. We'll keep you posted how this develops. Now, the person that they've referred haven't even contacted us yet, and it doesn't matter because you have to realize that the person that sends you a referral, everything that happens from this point on is our business. We have to ensure that we can get this referral to convert to a client. The person that sent them to us, they've done their job. They talked us up, and they send that person to us. So I want to reward that behavior. I want to thank them for this. Whether or not this person will become our client, that again is up to me. So when they do, we then update the referrer and say, hey, thanks a lot, and maybe you give them additional reward and additional thank you, and maybe share part of the compensation that we, or part of the income, the profit that we derive from this new customer. But that second, first, we have to acknowledge the act of giving us a referral again, because that's just good relationship. That's just what it is.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, doing little things with your strategic partners, just sending them little unexpected gifts, just a little bit that again is unexpected, unanticipated. It makes a big difference. And the biggest problem for us as entrepreneurs is to carving out time in the busy schedules to really kind of rise above all the daily minutiae, all the busyness, and look at our business from 10,000, from 40,000 feet and say, okay, where are the opportunities to really connect with people in a little bit different ways? Where are the opportunities to touch people in such a way that they will go, wow, and they will remember and they will feel? And remember that people, this is, you know, I forget whose quote it is, but it's a very famous saying that people forget what they bought for you. People forget what you said. People forget exactly what they learned, but they never forget how you made them feel. So this whole concept of relationship marketing is really about how did you make a person feel when they were doing business with you. And if you made them feel exceptionally well about themselves, they will remember you for life and reward you for life. I'll give you one other quick idea. I know we might be coming up against the clock, but one other quick idea. This is again a great example that comes to mind. A few years back, I don't receive. You know, as the business grows, you get sheltered a little bit because you have to protect your time. So then you have to come up with different ways to impact customers, even though they may not have direct access to you. And kind of a side thought here is what people often confuse good customer service and good relationships with being accessible. One has nothing to do with the other. You see, and again, this is not a best example when you think about it. You wouldn't get pissed off at Microsoft because you couldn't get a hold of Bill Gates if you have a problem. You'll be pissed off if you can't get a hold of a customer service and they don't do their job. It's a whole different story. But Microsoft couldn't become a Microsoft if Bill Gates was there answering every single email and every single phone. He couldn't have come up with this big company and all the great products that they've built. So at some point, you have to let the machine do its job so you can do yours. But I remember a story when I was actually monitoring the emails, and a customer just sent a quick note in response to an easy or something like that. They said, hey, just wanted to let you know how, you know, they just said it, something nice. I forget what it was. Well, I immediately looked up the customer online. The email didn't have phone number, but I looked up the customer. I was able to find a website. I called him up, and I just left a quick message. Said, hey, I just got your note. So I appreciate your kind words. It makes a world of difference to me because sometimes, you know, we sit here, we create stuff. We don't even know if it makes an impact. So thank you so much. Well, you know, I think 2 or 3 weeks or maybe a month went by, and there was another note from this customer. It kind of came through a different way. And same thing, I picked up the phone. Well, this time I actually happened to get a hold of the customer, and I learned later that she was so excited. She, like, ran up the stairs to her husband, covering the phone with her hand, and said, you don't believe it, I'm actually on the phone with the Adam Urbanski. And, you know, it's kind of funny when she told me this, but what happened is that customer has actually turned into tens of thousands of dollars in business for me. And it actually originally wasn't even the customer, it was just a subscriber who made a nice comment. But because I reached out and because I acknowledged that, hey, I hear you when you're communicating with me, I hear you, they realized, wow, there's a real person behind that business online. And I now know them, I now trust them, and they've done business with me for years, and again, into the tunes of tens of thousands of dollars, just because I made two quick phone calls. And again, that's thinking long term, that's customer relationship, that's relationship marketing to me.
Well, the way that business used to be conducted 100 years ago, 150 years ago, you did business with the people that you had relationships with. That's just the way that the world worked. But as our societies grew and we got to be this busy industrialized society, people got away from doing business with the people that they knew and the people that they liked and the people that they wanted, and they started going for convenience. But I think one of the big things that the internet has done is it's kind of brought people back full circle to our roots, so to speak. And it is now important, again, to develop those relationships because people are now starting to really do business with the people that they know, like, and trust. And it's not just happening in a small way. It's happening in a big way. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, it always has been this way. It always will be this way. And I always tell my customers, you know, when you go... when you do business with a bank, you don't do business with a bank. Bank doesn't lend you money. A banker does. So it's not your relationship with the bank. It's your relationship with a specific person within that bank. And the same thing when customers come to us. And I think that over the years, because, you know, the internet, especially for the first few years, has given us so many ways to automate things. And I think a big push over the last 10, 15 years for businesses was total automation and hands-off business. If I can stay at arm's length from customers, that's the way I want it. Just send me your money, and then don't ever come back to talk to me because I don't want to hear from you. Just send me your money.
Right.
And I think, you know, finally people are realizing that that's not the way it works. People will buy absolute necessities, and they will buy, you know, things that they, when they have to buy them, they will, and they have no other choice, they'll buy them that way. But when they do have a choice, and right now people have tremendous amount of choice when it comes to who they do business and how do they do that business, they will always choose to consume products and services from companies and people they know, like, and trust. And I think the difficulty here is, Rhonda and Gina, that 25 years ago, when, you know, things were smaller, when there were fewer people, when there was less competition, yes, you had this one-on-one relationship, and it was, if you had a relationship with 10 or 15 customers as a service provider, you know, that was fantastic and you cherished it. And now, as everything becomes more massive and more kind of conglomerated, so to speak, the challenge is how do you create that one-on-one relationship, that deep connection with maybe 1,000 or maybe 10,000 people at a time. And there is a way to do it. It's not easy. It takes time and it takes effort. And unfortunately, there are no shortcuts. I often, when I do presentations that are more motivational in nature, you know, people get confused between, people say, well, I may not spend a whole lot of time with my kids, but I've got quality time with my kids. And, you know, I often smack people up the head and I say, you guys are idiots. There is no quality without quantity. If you think just because you hang out with your kids for 5 minutes you had quality time, no, you didn't. You've got to add quantity to have quality. And if you want to have quality relationship with your customers, you've got to put quantity into it as well. And the quantity is of time, money, and effort. You have to invest into building those quality relationships. It's not an overnight fix. And the real catch-22 is that it may take you years to build those relationships, and one stupid screw-up will make it all go away. So you can never be off guard. You can never let down your guard. You can never take your customers for granted and offend them, because it's just, you can't. You have to realize that this is who pays your bills. This is who ultimately is your boss.
I think that's really powerful, and it speaks to ensuring the quality of every customer touch, every customer communication, whether it's in an email, a phone call, or something physically in the mail.
Absolutely.
So let's say someone has a business and it's kind of struggling, it's not doing real well, but they're trying to figure out what they can do to attract more customers, to use relationships the way that we've been talking about it. Where do they start?
what do I even begin this? You know, that let's start with a couple of things. Number one is I like for people who are challenged with attracting enough new business, one of the first things that I want them to do is to make a distinction for themselves in how they think or shift their mindset, how they think about marketing and selling. And the distinction is if you put the word marketing and then next to it the word education and put an equal sign in between them, if you realize that marketing is nothing more than education. You know, one of the definitions of business is solving other people's problems profitably. Well, I like to extend that definition to actual marketing. Your marketing should be solving other people's problems, ideally at a profit for you. So what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that if you want to attract more customers, do more teaching, educate more people. Now, not educate them about what you do, because they couldn't care less about what you do, but educate them about how to solve their problems. So let's say you're a bookkeeper and you need more business. Well, what you have to start doing is immediately today start looking for places where you can be in front of your potential customers and start educating them about biggest mistakes people make in their bookkeeping and how to easily solve their own problems and how to use little bookkeeping shortcuts if they want to do their own bookkeeping. Because what will happen is out of every 10 people that will hear you, 7 will go, hey, thank you, this was fantastic education, appreciate that. 3 will say, hey, this was really good, I would like to find out more how you can help me. Out of those, 2 might become a client. So which way could you go? You know, what could you do? Could you teach a teleseminar on this? Could you start speaking to local networking groups and chambers of commerce and just do a talk on, you know, how to avoid biggest bookkeeping blunders and how to keep your business on track, how to understand your numbers, you know, how to get yourself out of the shoebox bookkeeping method and be organized with your money. So just teach, and teach some more. If I can share a good resource out there, I actually give away a series of videos. I think it's about an hour and a half of videos on something I called Profit Explosion. And if you go to ProfitExplosionSecrets.com, they're free. Then you don't even have to opt in to watch the first 3 or 4 videos, I think. And it gives a complete method in terms of how to generate leads quickly and how to convert them into customers quickly, especially if you're providing a service-based business. Okay? So a few things that most people need to realize is that when it comes to marketing and attracting clients, you really have a minimum of 4 basic components, and the first one of them is getting attention and generating leads. The second of them is keeping in touch, following up, providing more information. The third one is converting those leads into clients, and the fourth one is retaining clients. So if your business isn't doing as well as you would like it to do, then you have to start looking at those 4 core components and ask yourself, okay, what's going on? Am I not getting enough leads? Now, the leads that I am getting, am I keeping in touch with them and building that relationship, as we talked about? Do I have a lot of leads but none of them convert into my clients, and what do I have to do with that? And maybe I get enough clients but then they quit my, you know, they quit doing business with me very quickly. So you have to look at which one of those 4 areas is broken and fix one of those first. For most people, typically it's 1, they just don't generate enough leads, and if they can just learn how to do this, that can fix a lot of their problems. And, you know, then they need to start evaluating the remaining 3 areas, how to improve them in them as well. But for most people, it would be just learn how to attract more leads. And you do this by educating, providing more education. And the second biggest problem for most people is they just don't know how to have a great enrollment conversation or sales conversation. And again, if I could provide another mindset shift and a distinction here, if you start thinking about selling in terms of manipulating and trying to push somebody to do something they don't want to do, and start looking at sales as an advisory, as a consultation to help someone find the best solution for the problem. If you just become a trusted confidant and a trusted advisor and have a sales conversation from that perspective, I guarantee you'll be closing a lot, and closing kind of a negative word, but I want to use it here, you'll be closing a lot more sales. So generate more leads and get better at having a sales conversation.
What you're really saying there is, though, that closing the sale is actually opening the relationship to a new level.
Exactly.
Very cool.
For the strategies that we've been talking about today, do they work for all businesses in all markets at all levels? So will this work equally well for someone who's a solopreneur and someone who's, say, got 20 employees? Or are there any distinctions that need to be made?
The strategies work equally well. It doesn't matter if you are a mom-and-pop business, if you're working out of your spare bedroom or basement, or if you're a billion-dollar company. The only differences are that when you are a solo professional, you run a business out of your spare bedroom, you're wearing all the hats to begin with. So in a way, it's a curse and a blessing. It's a curse because obviously now you've got to think of all those different things, but the blessing is that you can really extend initially that warmth and that personality that comes out of you being you. And you simply caring for and liking people. When you run a $20 billion business, the problem is that you've got to now create systems that allows each person in the business to treat the customer that way, the customer feels appreciated. Because, now it's how do you extend that vision, how do you extend that desire to care, to acknowledge each customer throughout every single level of your company. But that's talking about company culture, but ultimately in terms of the marketing methods, it works at every single level. You know, one of the companies that's just making big splash out there is Zappos nowadays. And when you when you hear about how they treat customers and when you see how they allow people to get to know who Zappos is, if you go on YouTube and look up inside Zappos, you're going to see funny videos that their employees create. You really get a feel of what it's like to work for the company, who the company is. You don't just get the name Zappos and this is, who sells my shoes. They really work hard at, number one, providing an exceptional with capital letters and multiple explanation points service to the customers, and number two, at letting the customers really get to know who Zappos is. Not just the name, not just the building, not just the package that gets delivered, but the people that work in the company, who they are, and, they're just people, just like everybody else. They're goofy, they look, they have all sorts of different looks, they have all sorts of different likes and dislikes, and, just like the rest of us, they do stupid things. And that's what we relate to, and that's what they lead with at all the times.
Well, and I noticed that maybe not quite to that same degree with the videos and all the rest of it, but for example, I went into a Target store last week. You could look at Target as just another discount store like Walmart or Kmart or anything like that. When I went in there, within probably less than 2 minutes, somebody came up and said to myself, and I was there with my mother, and said, can I help you find anything? And we said yes and told her what, and she pointed us in the right direction. And I thought, well, that's unusual. Gosh, when I go to the other local W-related store, you're hard-pressed to find anybody without having to walk into a back room and going, excuse me, can I have somebody from Housewares out here or whatever? And I thought, wow, I feel, and this happened four different times, within maybe the 25 or 30 minutes that we were in there, where people made sure they could have been actually in the middle of doing something. They could have been stocking shelves, and they would stop, turn around, face you, not just like continue moving their gun and looking at, you know, just kind of over their shoulder, but they actually stopped and turned and made sure that we had whatever we needed, or someone helped me find a particular product and explain the difference between one thing and another. And after we left, I said, wow, I feel as if I was in a department store, you know, back from 20 years ago or whatever, where you actually got service, and yet it was a discount store. And I found myself wishing that the Target was actually closer to me to where I could get to it, because I would much prefer to shop in that atmosphere than I would with the big store with the W that's closer to me, who provides tedious service.
You know, that's so true. And the challenge here is for us as entrepreneurs, as professionals, and especially if we are kind of a, you know, if someone is a one-person show and they really have to do everything in the business, is that sometimes you've got pressing tasks and you've got things that just have to be handled, and then you have an inquiry or a call or some sort of contact from the customer, and it's so easy to forget that, hey, that this is, you know, so important, and it's so easy to get into the thought, oh, it's just another interruption, what do they want now? And, you know, when you go mm-hmm. to the post office, you know, you got to, you know, I haven't been to post office in years, so I don't know if anything changed, but it's you go in there, and it's almost like, you know, by the time you get there, they look at you and say, what do you want now? You know, why are you even here? Why are you bothering me? Can't you see I'm working here? And it's like, well, hello, that's, you know, your work is to provide me with assistance with shipping and mailing and stuff, but they, you know, remember the post office, it's like it's almost proverbial how bad of the service you get, because they just couldn't get, they're so busy doing the work, they forget that the customers are there, they're supposed to be there serving. So, you know, mm-hmm. I guess what I'm getting at is that we have to constantly remind ourselves, and when we have employees, we have to constantly remind our employees, I don't care what it is that you do, and I don't care how busy you are, there is no more important work than your customer. You know, again, I haven't been to bank in years, but when I actually did go to banks, I always got so frustrated, always, because I would look at, you know, I would stand in line and I would wait, you know, for the next teller, and I would see two or three tellers in the back or one teller in the window, and they do some, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? You know, and it always just baffled me that banks couldn't figure out when a teller is doing certain stuff that they might be, I understand they've got to, you know, tally up their, you know, the transactions and everything. There should be a process for the teller to just disappear somewhere. They can't be in front of the customers and doing other work, because there is no other work more important than serving that customer. When I was in the restaurant business, it was absolutely, it was huge for us to do a couple of things. Number one is if you, let's say you were on break, and you know, You have a break. It's mandated by law, and it's required, and it's a human thing to do. It's like you've got to take a break when you work, you know. Mm-hmm. But the point is, you can't be in my dining room and enjoying a meal, and then all of a sudden we get busy, and there is a huge, you know, onslaught of customers, and then you are in a uniform, because they will immediately start looking at you. Well, why the hell are you sitting and eating your meal when I'm here standing and waiting? You have no, you know, and it's a silly thing to do and think this way, but that's how we think. We want to be serviced as a customer. We walk in, we want the service. So it was so important for us to make sure that employees understood this. If they were on break, they couldn't be behind the counter. If they were doing any type of preparation work of, you know, prepping meals or cooking, they were kind of more like back-end prep. They could not be, and they were front-end personnel, they couldn't be visible by customers, especially when it was busy, because immediately the customer had a thought, well, wait a second, I'm here, I'm waiting to be served, and you're busy doing something else. Come on, help me. And again, so it's so critical that number one is you don't fall into this way of thinking, oh my God, here's another customer, there goes my interruption, I can't do what I'm supposed to because there's a customer. So be very careful not to fall into this thinking trap. But the second thing is create systems that allow you to perform your job and still feel customers special and appreciated and taken care of promptly.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
Oh, I just said a relationship system, as well as you might have an accounting system or whatever. You're talking about a relationship building system.
That's correct.
What does a relationship building system look like?
Well, a relationship building system means providing all sorts of things that we just talked about, but doing it systematically. So to give you an idea, I mentioned earlier, you know, a customer purchases a product, and then a customer receives a phone call and a cart. Well, a system ensures that it happens. Because if you have one customer, you can do it. But if you have 100 customers a day, you cannot do it anymore by yourself. You've got to have someone else helping you. And if you've got someone else helping you, then you've got to make sure that it happens. And if it's you standing over somebody's shoulder and kind of reminding them, then that's a problem. That's not a system. So, for example, in our case, it could be something as simple as a transaction triggers a note to a person that then picks up the phone and calls, and it triggers a note to send a postcard, a greeting card, and say, hey, thank the customer. So that is a little mini relationship building system, and maybe that thing triggers an email that goes out a week and a half or 2 weeks later. It says, hey, just wanted to check in. You've invested in this product. How is it going? So that is a system that you see now allows us to get this almost one-on-one, almost individualized connection with each customer, but it's done to each and every customer. And I don't care if I'm here, I don't care if I'm sick, I don't care if I'm on vacation, that system will provide that type of attention to each and every customer.
Well, I know that for my audience especially, the whole idea of systems can really get them confused. It's nice to hear that it can be so simple and so straightforward, because I think that will help them a lot to better understand how systems can really work and how to implement them so that they can use them in their business.
You see, Gina, this is, I think, you tapped into something very important, because a lot of, especially when businesses grow and you've got somebody like maybe you and myself, which, you know, I'm thinking very strategically always. And look for ways to systemize. And so we talk about systems all the time and how important it is to have a system and process. And people go, what the hell is this system and process thing? I just don't get it. And it's so simple, because everything you do in your business is probably, you have a system for it right now. So let's say you do call a customer, and let's say you do send them a thank you card, and let's say you do send them an email or two or three emails after they do business with you. You know, you have a system of some sorts, whether you have a calendar or a notepad, or whether you just think in your head and remember, okay, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. You have a system. The problem is that system is undocumented. And
right,
it's probably inconsistent,
right?
Because you don't have a checklist. So now, how do you create that system? Simply sit down as you do, and everything you do, just write it down. So you say, okay, I just got an order. What's the thing I did? Well, the first thing I did is I picked up the phone and called the customer. Great. You know, here's what happens. Order, step number one, call the customer. Okay, what did I do next? Well, the following day, I send them a thank you card. Good. Send a thank you card. Well, what happened next? Well, 5 days later, I send them an email. Good. Send them an email. You write all of that down. Now you've got the system. And now you have to decide, how do you delegate or automate that system? Delegate meaning you give those things and you say to someone else, hey, when this happens, you're doing those 5 steps. Or you automate, meaning you have some sort of machine technology in place that when an order comes in, the technology is triggered and the technology takes care of everything else. But you now have a system.
That's great. Now, I assume that you have something that has some of the systems and strategies and whatnot that we've talked about today available for folks that want to go and take this a little bit further?
Yes, and so a couple of places, and I appreciate you asking. A couple of places. Number one, I would definitely recommend people go to ProfitExplosionSecrets.com, because those videos, and they were I've recorded them a while back actually for a $5,000 a year coaching program, and they may start a little bit slow, but I promise you, when you watch those videos, it will revolutionize your whole concept of how to build your business, because they teach you a specific methodology to bring in clients and profits quickly, but they also teach you how to start thinking about your business model in general, how to make sure that what you do actually is profitable on an ongoing basis and can be scaled, meaning can be grown into something bigger than just you. So ProfitExplosionSecrets.com. And another place I would just like to send people to my main website, TheMarketingMentors.com, TheMarketingMentors.com. And right now, what I'm giving away is actually a module of something that, of its flagship training that we provide. It's called Attract Clients Like Crazy. And I believe it's module 2 of the training that we are giving away. And it's kind of an overall strategic look at the Attract Clients Like Crazy model. And it talks about identifying the most valuable potential clients, creating lead generating systems. It talks about follow-up strategies, talks about conversion strategies, it talks about profit explosion what I call profit multiplier strategies. So you can get this entire core overview for free. It's not one of those things that just gives you a table of content and really no content. It's an actual content module. So I definitely encourage people to check this out. And then ultimately, you know, right now in about a month and a half, November 12th through 15th in 2009, I don't know when somebody may listen to this 2 years from now. So November 12th to 15th, 2009 in Southern California, I'm hosting my last ever live Attract Clients Like Crazy boot camp. And if you go to attractclientslikecrazy.com, you can see it. And ultimately, I'll show you this. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a service professional, if you're a business owner, and you really want to take your business to the next level, I encourage you to get yourself to that boot camp. This year, we've priced it. We're almost giving it away, to be honest. It's an enormous value. It's my entire seven-figure business blueprint in a box, but it happens live. We train you step-by-step how to basically explode your business from where you are to mid-six or seven figures in the next 12 to 18 months. I would say this, don't let time, don't let money, don't let travel get in your way. If you're really serious about building a successful company, building a successful business, then I think once you take a look at what we offer and once you take a look at what kind of results people are actually creating with our stuff, and I want you to pay attention, because the results I share on my website, this is not people saying, well, it was I like the ideas and I think they might make me some money. It's people stating over and over and over, I have made X amount of dollars. I have generated X amount of income. Those are all documented, proven, past the results that have already happened because of the system. The system works. So I would encourage you, don't let any excuses get in the way. Get yourself there, and I would love to meet you in person and make a tremendous difference in your business, whether it's you just having less stress, you being able to take care of your past debt, you take care of family member, you give to charitable causes, just spend more time doing what you love to do with people you love. That's what your business is supposed to afford you, and if it doesn't, let me help you, let me teach you how it can and how it will once you know exactly what to do and how to do it.
Great. Let's give out those URLs one more time.
So attractclientslikecrazy.com, that's for our bootcamp. ProfitExplosionSecrets.com, that's for videos teaching you how to attract more leads and get more money into your business fast. And TheMarketingMentors.com, TheMarketingMentors.com, which is actually my main website. You can download one free module of our training over there for free.
Great. And
awesome.
Adam, it has really been our pleasure having you as a guest here today. This has been a fabulous, fabulous call. And I got to say, I was really impressed with your Facebook fan page yesterday. I loved how you had the entire opt-in page from Attract Clients Like Crazy right in your Facebook fan page, and I was very glad to see that you were sharing how you were doing that, because I went and borrowed it too, so thank you.
You bet. I've got to give nod to Mari Smith, who was the Facebook queen out there teaching this. So, got to give credit where credit is due. And Rhonda and Gina, I really appreciate you having me here. It's been a pleasure.
Same here. Thank you so much, Adam. And Rhonda, thank you so much for arranging this. Who do we have next week? Do we have a guest next week?
I believe we do. I have to double check emails to make sure, but we are going to have, as always, really awesome ways to kick your business into high gear by building relationships.
Well, sounds like a good idea, and we'll be back next weekend, Tuesday at noon Eastern, here on Blog Talk Radio for Relationship Marketing 101. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, winners take imperfect action while losers are still perfecting the plan. Be a winner and go take some action for your business this week. Thanks so much again, and talk to you next week.